Good morning. We doing okay? Good. Somebody, yep, doing good. See, you're always afraid to be that one, aren't you? Because everybody around you knows who you are. It's so good to see you this morning. This series is, it continues to beg for the very thing that I talked about in the last series, which was sabotage. And if you missed any of that, I highly recommend going back and checking some of that stuff out on the web or whatever. But this series begs to say, hey, Satan, we're calling you out over here. And by the way, you know, we're a big target. So just come and just try to knock us down. And I sense that with people at times, and I've sensed it this week with some of you, and I just don't think that we always recognize where Satan is trying to do something, because our human nature is that we just automatically presume that it's all about this person or this thing that happened or whatever, and we don't see him at work, and he's at work, and I'm just going to remind us of that, and today we're going to talk about how we combat him on this. And that's what this series is about. You know, last series, Sabotage, and Ben did an awesome job last week of talking about God's word to start us off on this series called Arsenal. But last week's series, Sabotage, was all about understanding that Satan wants to just wreck us. He wants to tear us apart. It was all about the planned attempt to destroy us. That's what sabotage is. It is a planned attempt to destroy. Well, this series, Arsenal, comes along behind that, and it is throwing out there that God has given us stuff to combat against Satan. Now, you know, we're using this gun theme thing and all that, and luckily enough, we hadn't had anybody too upset about that yet. We do live in Cheatham County, so it should be okay, because most of you have more deer on the wall than you have children in the house. I'm not one of you on that, though. But all through Scripture, we see spiritual warfare like crazy, and we have, you know, whole passages of Scripture given up to understanding what we've got to do as people at war. And we don't like to talk about that. We don't like to think about it, because there's a lot of that going on right now, and there's a lot that we have to think about and deal with, because that's our reality right now in our culture. But the truth is the reality of our spiritual lives is no different, and the war is not much different either. And the truth is that we have to be ready with the arsenal. And so many of us, we have it, but we're not using it. It's not there. We're not spending time in God's word like what Ben talked about last week. Man, it is so important that we do that. You know, and I know what happens to us. We say, man, you know, I just get attacked and this happens and that happens. And the next thing I know, life is just turned upside down. And, you know, it just seems like it's always that way. And I'm just here to tell you that it's going to be, but it's especially going to be the more time that you spend out of God's word. It's so key for us to do that. And for what we're talking about here today is a continued part of that. This is, last week we talked about God's word. Ben talked about God's word being very precise, and the scope on a rifle being very precise, and how the scope itself can see danger from far away. You know, God's word is great at that, isn't it? When you're in God's word, when you're just reading through and you're just saying, God, teach me and speak to me through your word, and you're really seeking God through his word, it every single time what winds up happening is God starts to lay things on your heart. You're reading things and you're going, oh, you know, I've seen a little bit of that maybe in our house, or I've seen a little bit of that, you know, where I work, or, you know, in my own life. And you begin to see things more clearly, like you would through a scope. This week, we're talking about prayer. Prayer is personal. It is something that we can do with God, and God's word pretty much is the same thing as well. But this week, as we talk about prayer, we're going to be talking about the personalness of this, the personal attack that we can have against sin and temptation. That's what this is about today. And so, you know, I don't know what you're struggling with or what you're dealing with. I want to take just a second for us just to pray for just a moment. And I'm really encouraging you before we pray, I'm really encouraging you today to really just open up and hear what God has to say to you and just be ready to just roll with whatever God speaks to your heart with about this today. And if God is asking today that you finally just kind of come full guns and you just kind of put your whole self out there and you just get real with him and quit playing a game or whatever it is today, I just encourage you to just listen to God in this. Let's just pray for just a minute. God, you are unbelievable. And the things that you have done for us are unbelievable. And God, today we are coming asking God that we could see your will be done in our lives, in our families, in our church. God, your will be done. We want you to do your thing. And we're praying for that. And God, I pray that we would be behind you on that and that we would be with you on that, that we would be in sync in our relationship with you on it so that when it's happening, we're cheering it on and we're saying, awesome God, this is great, this is good, you're the man. God, that's where we want to be. We want to be where you want us to be, and we want to be right in the middle of what you've called us to do, and we want to be in the middle of your will. God, furthermore, Lord, we pray that you would protect us and that you would speak to our hearts, God, and that you would show us the things that we need to combat sin and temptation, that you would protect us, God, and that you would keep us. God, I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be pure for your sake and for your glory. God, that people could see that our hearts are pure, that we don't have ulterior motives, that we are just coming straight up just saying we love God and we want to do what he wants us to do and we got nothing else to bring with it but that. God, I just pray, Lord, that people would see that in us. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be forgiving, God, as you have forgiven us. We love you and we thank you for this time together. Speak to our hearts and just, God, I just pray, Lord, that we would just be open to what you want to do in us. In your name I pray, amen. Prayer is one of those things that, you know, we talk about it from time to time and, you know, people say, well, yeah, I'll be praying for you. I'll be remembering you. I'll be praying for you, right? We say that. Those are big words, by the way. For us to say that is saying that we are going to remember you with petition to God. We are going to place you in our prayer life for God to hear on a daily basis, on a regular basis, that we're going to constantly lift you up in that thing that you're going through. We've got to be careful with those words. If we're going to say them, we need to mean them. You know, our prayer lives, you know, I think for the majority of us, we constantly find ourselves, you know, wanting to have a good prayer life, wanting to have a good walk with the Lord. You know, I know. Guys that, you know, struggle with, you know, maybe they struggle with, you know, prayer, but they're great at spending time in God's word, or maybe they're vice versa. I'm one of those people that, this is just me, I don't know if it's a personality thing or what, but it's just easier for me to, when I can be in the frame of mind, it's easier for me to spend more time in prayer. It's easier for me to be thinking about that as I'm driving down the road and, you know, open eyes, by the way. You know, by the way, you don't have to close your eyes. That's just one of those things. It's like a, you know, want to concentrate on who God is. Sometimes, a lot of times, if you've ever been peeking, I'm usually looking at you while I'm praying, because honestly, that's just my heart. You know, and as I'm praying for us as a church, I want to look at the church. You know, anyway, I'm getting off track. But anyway, you get that picture. So, you know, I'll be praying going down the road, and I think for a lot of us, we mean well. But our meaning well never equals action. Prayer is important to us spiritually. It is important to our lives. It's so important that, it includes the Godhead in it. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it includes the Godhead. We pray to the Father through being saved by Jesus Christ. And if you didn't know that, you know, a lot of people, I meet a lot of people that, you know, don't know Christ as their Savior. But they say things like, well, I've been praying about this. And I don't think that they quite grasp that for a person to have a relationship with God, they have to have Christ as their Savior. This is just very basic, very basic stuff, very basic doctrine. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so for us to understand that our relationship with God includes prayer, but it has to include Jesus Christ. We pray because we know Jesus Christ. Furthermore, you've got the third part of the Trinity here going on, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he's like the translator of the whole thing. In fact, and if you didn't know this, this is very scriptural. I challenge you to look it up. I'm not giving it to you today. But if you didn't know this, in Scripture, it teaches us that in moments when we don't even know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will intercede for us and pray for us. Whoa. In other words, because the Holy Spirit lives within us, the Holy Spirit knows our heart and is in turn throwing that to God and saying, right now, this is their heart and this is what's really going on. And that's hard to fathom, I think, for a lot of us, but that's what's going on. And you've probably had moments in time where you're basically left speechless because of what's happening in your life in that moment. I'm here to tell you that prayer is such a huge thing that it includes all three parts of the Godhead. It's so important to us. You know, the question could even be said, what is prayer? You know, we talk about it a lot at church. You know, I went to a church one time and they prayed and they said the same thing over and over and, you know, all this stuff. Let me throw something out there that's probably one of the most important things I'm going to say this morning about prayer. And that is that it has to include the heart. It has to include the heart. If it does not include the heart, it's no good. You know, I think this is the lure, you know, for me and for so many others of many of us in here today. The reason that we don't like tradition a lot of times is because we feel that maybe it lacks heart. We've been to places where we've seen it lack heart. Doesn't always lack heart, but a lot of times it does because it is so repetitive that they've done the same thing every week, every week. Does it mean that everybody in the room is not meaning it from their heart? No. There are probably some people in there that they mean it just as much, you know, today as they did, you know, 30 years ago when they first started. But the importance here is that it is based upon the heart. It's based upon what's really going on. It's not empty. It's not just empty words. It's not just, you know, throwing something out there and filling the air full of stuff. In fact, you know, we've got right here off the bat, we've got, you know, something not to do when praying. And I want to share this passage with you. This is out of Matthew chapter 6. And it says in verses 5 and 6, and I think I'm going to add 7 if that's okay with you, Jason. Verses 5 and 6 of Matthew 6, it says this, and when you pray, this is Christ speaking here, he says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, this is verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Verse 8 actually goes on. We probably don't have this, but verse 8 just says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You know, for so many of us, we've seen stuff like that, and for so many of us, we detest it. We don't like it. That's not us. We don't want to be somewhere where somebody's not being real. Somebody told me recently, you know, whenever I talk, you know, about you to my friends or whatever, and they don't go to church, I just say, I can't explain it other than it's just real, and I really hope that for our church. I really do. If I'm ever being fake up here, somebody get out the rifle and shoot me off the stage. You know, it's worthless for us to follow through on what God is calling us to do if our heart's not in it. And especially with prayer. Prayer is spending time with God. It is a needful practice of the believer. It is the privilege of touching the heart of God. I mean, you think about this for just a split second. Like you know, at the beginning of service today, if you were late, you didn't get to see it, but there was a countdown before the fine video of me in the parking lot. And the countdown was of some of us from church that got together on New Year's Eve. And one of them, which will go unnamed, Jake Lockhart, has a cannon. And we set the cannon off at my house on New Year's Eve. This was a glorious thing. And we were blowing up arcade cabinets, big wooden boxes, just blowing them up. I mean, it was an unbelievable display of wood and glass and things just flying all over my yard, just everywhere. It was unbelievable. You know, and as awesome as things like that are on earth, and as much as we can love something like that, how much more awesome is it that we have a relationship with the God who created everything? I mean, threw the stars into their place and shoved mountains into existence and dug out oceans for us to go deep sea fishing in. How awesome is that? And you know, we are so into power on this planet, earthly power, that we see people and we're like, oh, they got a lot of power. I want to be near them and I want to be their friend because they're famous or whatever. You know, and we're missing the main one. We're missing the main thing. We're missing the guy that really does actually have all the power. Not this fake power that, you know, is an illusion here on this planet, but the guy who has created it all and has saved us from sin. We get to have a relationship with him. We get to tap into that. We don't have to wait for the board meeting to talk to him. We don't have to wait for his secretary to put us on his list. All we have to do is pray. And that's so huge. Prayer is the pursuit of God's glory. And in that, it also becomes the pursuit of our joy. I could do a whole series on those two statements. I'm just throwing them out there. Prayer is the pursuit of God's glory. It is the pursuit of looking at God and saying, God, you are great, and I want you to be great in me and in this place, in this world. So many times we treat prayer, and this kind of even goes back to some of this passage of scripture where we just read, you know, about, you know, don't be, you know, babbling in public and just trying to look cool and, you know, all of this stuff as far as, you know, what you're saying and what you're doing. Again, this goes back to it's got to be a heart thing, and we get more into the scripture here in just a minute about that. But, you know, in this, you know, many of us are guilty that the only time that we pray is what? When something goes wrong. As soon as something happens, what are we doing? Well, honey, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know. We probably better call the pastor. He's got some powerful prayer. We should call him. You know, I'm glad to be in those situations, by the way. But, you know, in our heads, a lot of times the only time that we actually end up going to God is when everything is falling apart and it's all coming down. And we're missing the point that God is saying, thank me in everything. Even in the bad. Even in the worst of times, give me thanks. Because you're living. Because he saved you. Prayer, when done right, is a place where all pride is abandoned. It's a place where hope is lifted. And I want you to just get a real picture of this. I want you to ask yourself the question, who knows so much about you that they know every little tiny thing about you? They know every sin. They know everything in your heart. They know everything that you've thought about. What friend do you have that knows that? Nobody. Nobody. Because realistically, none of us have probably ever really told everything that's going on inside. But who does know? God knows. And so when we are praying from the heart, one of the things, and I'm encouraging you, this is really one of those things that you're really going to have to be open to. When you're praying from the heart, when it's meant from the heart, that means that when you go before God, you are going before him with basically just throwing down all your pride. You're throwing down all the stuff that you hide from everybody else, and you're just saying, God, here I am. This is me. This is who I am. It's being real. And you know, we'll say that we do that, but I mean, honestly, when was the last time that you got before God and you said, God, this is me and this is my real heart. And God, I've been bitter about some stuff and I've been angry about some stuff. And God, I haven't forgiven some people about some stuff. And God, I haven't been following you like you've wanted me to because of this or because of that. And you just really lay it all out on the line. That's tough for us to do. Because we just want to bottle it up and not deal with it. But when we really deal with what's going on in our heart, when we really see what God has got for us, that's when he really gets to begin to work. This passage of scripture goes on in chapter 6, and it goes into something that we all have heard before, and maybe we have heard people say time and time again, and this is one of those things that, you know, to us is tradition, and you would go, oh, that's the other churches do that. No. This is important. And it goes on in verse 9 of chapter 6, we have what is known as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. He goes on, there's just a little bit more. Kind of after this, Jesus wants to clarify something, and he talks about it for a couple of verses. We've got this, says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's tough. And right there, the breakdown of this thing, if we just want to kind of run through it fast, is our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's just saying, God, that's just telling God how great he is. It's thanking God for who he is. It's recognizing that he is holy and he is unmatched by anything or anyone else. He gets all the glory. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That passage of scripture is basically saying, this is, by the way, this is Jesus saying, pray like this. Pray like this. If you want a how to pray, pray like this. Because this is his disciples and they're hanging out. This is instruction Jesus has given. And he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when he's saying that, he's saying, you know, first off, tell God how great he is. But second off, tell him that you want to see his will be done. You want to see him do his thing. You don't want your thing. And that's hard. Because us as humans, we want our thing. And we're constantly thinking about our thing. And about half the time when we go and pray to God, we're going immediately, not with, hey, God, you are awesome and you are great and I want to give you all the glory. And by the way, I really want to see your thing done. No, most of the time or half the time or whatever, a lot of times we go to God and it's immediately like, God, I need this and I want this and please help me out with this. And I've got this thing and this is trouble over here. And, you know, Jesus is getting to some of that on down the list. Right after this, it says, give us today our daily bread. Basically, he's saying, provide. Ask God for provision. Ask God to take care of you. Is it asking God to make you rich? No. It is not asking God to make you rich. And for everybody on TV that uses scripture and wants to tell you that, I saw something this week that was just like that. and I just couldn't believe it. It just makes me so mad. It's completely taking Scripture out of context, and it's heresy. It's asking God for provision. God, provide. Give us what we need. Give us what we need. Furthermore, verse 12, it says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And right there, it's just saying, God, just please forgive us, wipe us clean, wipe the slate clean. He, of course, has done that through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus. And then in verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I love this because we need this, and we especially need it now, you know, as we're talking against what Satan is trying to do. We need to be consciously engaging with God and saying, God, please, please, please protect us. Protect me from temptation, from sin. Help me to recognize it when I see it. Help me to recognize it in other people when it's going on in them and understand that, you know, Satan is at work. And then furthermore, that last part, verse 14, it says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Man, this is hard, and I know it, because we all deal with it. It is hard to forgive people for where you have been wronged. Sometimes you have been wronged, and you've really been wronged, so much so that, you know, you're just done with them. And let me explain something. There is a difference between forgiving someone and trusting someone. You can forgive someone for wrecking your car. It doesn't mean that you trust them to give them the keys again, okay? Prayer is so needed for us, and it is so personal. And I, you know, just to even go on the engaging it thing, I've got a friend of mine here today that I'm going to ask to join me on stage, Mr. Carl Little, and he's going to come up here and join me here in just a second.
Forte.
Is that thing? Yeah, I've got it on. He said this is not his forte. Carl, man, you know, I love going like from all seriousness to bad boys, what you gonna do? That's so great. Carl, many of you guys know Carl. If you haven't gotten to know Carl, you really should. He's really a blessing, and he's a good friend. He has been with our church for a long time. I asked Carl to come up here for just a second, just for us to talk for just a brief moment about what he does, what you do, and your in your personal life, and your professional life, I guess even better stated, you are a police officer for Cheatham County Sheriff's Department, and you are constantly in situations where you're kind of having to keep your head in the game. Talk to me about, just for just a brief moment, talk to me about what it's like in those situations. How do you handle those situations? What is it that you have to do? What does Carl have to do when you go stop a car or something?
The biggest fallacy in police work, Chris, is that the typical traffic stop, which that's my job with the Sheriff's Department, is routine. When you initiate a traffic stop and you activate your emergency equipment on your vehicle, you immediately have to become aware of everything around you, the car you're stopping. Why is it doing 100 in a 50-mile-an-hour zone? Vehicles that need to go around you, oncoming traffic, pedestrians. You have to take in the whole totality of the situation.
Sure. You have to be engaged and on your guard, basically.
Correct.
And in scenarios where it actually gets taken to an extreme, where it escalates, something's going on, you have to be ready to do certain things, correct?
Correct.
What would some of those things be that you might have to be ready to do? What would you use? What would you be ready to combat? Are you just going to like fist fight with these people if they want to?
Well, in police work, we have what they call a use of force continuum. My presence in the state of Tennessee is actually commanding someone to do something. Then we have what they call hard hand, soft hand, touch, and then all of this stuff that I carry every day.
What all do we have here? You don't have to get it all out or anything, but what all do we have here? It's quite a bit of stuff. It's like the bat belt.
If you follow the use of force continuum, I have freeze plus P. Demonstrate.
You got a taser.
We'll wait until we get further down.
He's going to taser me at the end. So
I carry a 12-inch expandable ass baton, which basically is a metal rod. I carry the X26 taser, and I carry a Glock 22 40 caliber handgun.
Sweet. That's an arsenal. And even literally your CB, your is that what you call it? Your radio? It's not really a CB anymore. That's like Roscoe and Enos days.
Correct.
But even your radio, you know, to some degree is part of your arsenal, because when you get in situations like that, you're immediately calling backup and all those kinds of things, right?
Correct. But I think to take away from all of this on my waist, presence to me is more important. You know,
absolutely.
Get out of my vehicle with a command presence. That does a lot.
Sure.
And a lot of officers, they don't.
You're pretty good at that presence, because I know some people here that you've pulled over. So, in fact, I've seen it before myself.
Let me see.
you know, this talking about the arsenal, and this weekend, us talking about prayer is very personal. And what you do in your job is a very personal display of what sometimes might be using of an arsenal. But even your presence, as you're saying, is part of your arsenal. It is what you use to combat against evil, per se. You know, and just like for us, we have prayer to constantly keep us in combatance against sin and temptation in a very personal way. I wanted to be able just to talk about that for a few minutes with Carl. Man, I really appreciate you coming up and hanging out with us.
No problem.
You're awesome. And thank you for serving and for everything you do here at 24. You're very awesome, man. Thank you, buddy. You know, I think it's just so important for us. You know, we see all that stuff, we think about it, and I think that's why we chose this, to bring this home with this series. It's for us to understand the seriousness of the war that we are engaging in against Satan and for the kingdom. And we just don't always see it that way. We don't always see the importance of prayer being something that if it lacks in our life, we are going to get attacked in ways that we're not going to be ready for. You see, there's a couple of cool things about prayer, and we're going to close this up. A couple of cool things about prayer that we've got to understand is that when we spend time with God, when we are speaking to God, when we're talking with God, and when we're listening to God, because it's both things, it's talking and listening with God, prayer is. When we're doing that stuff and we're spending time with Him, we come away changed. Our will changes. Does this make sense? Our will changes. We begin to hang out with God, and our will begins to change. And this is no different with anything else that we do. The more you do something, the more you're around something, the more it affects you. You know, we were kind of kidding around about this earlier in the week, but you know, if you're listening to a certain kind of music for a certain time, let's just say that for the next month, the only music that you're going to listen to, and you're going to listen to it every time you get in the car, and every time you get home, and every time you sit at your desk, you're going to listen to this kind of music. But you know, let's just say that you listen to all country, you know, for that time. That's probably true of some of you. You know, you listen to all country sometimes, or let's just say you're going to listen to all metal. Or let's just say you're going to listen to all John Tesh, okay? It's like nonstop John Tesh marathon, heaven forbid. But you know, what winds up happening is your countenance begins to change, and it starts to match up with a little bit of kind of what you're, you know, whether you're feeling like you need to be out four-wheeling and, you know, living on the river, you know, with Kid Rock, or, you know, whether, you know, you feel like you, you know, live in the heavens and, you know, should all of a sudden buy a lot of synthesizers and keyboards. I don't know. You know, but your countenance changes, your attitude changes. You may go from angry to sad to angry to whatever. But you see, when we hang out with God, our will begins to look like God's will. Our heart just begins to bleed like God's heart does. And so when things happen in real life, in real time, as it's going on, you know, and somebody, you know, this big thing happens and we're angry and we're mad and they have done us wrong or whatever the thing is, instead of just like blowing up at them, or instead of like holding a grudge and being bitter and not forgiving, which we just talked about in this passage, which Jesus is very clear about how important this is. Instead of those things happening, we're ready because we've been using the arsenal. We've been practicing. We've been spending time with God. And in turn, our heart begins to look like Him. God changes our will. And that's what we want. I mean, really, that's what we want. This morning, I want us to spend a few moments in prayer together. I want us to take just a second to just kind of focus on who God is. And so, you know, again, we have to go back to this. We have to go back to the fact that it has to be from the heart. And so I'm just asking you, and maybe you do need to close your eyes so that you're not paying attention to anything around.